Blog Talk Radio.
It's a song we learned in Zimbabwe. You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you.
Pastor Kim from Vision of Hope Ministries. It is a pleasure and an honor to be with you this evening. Thank God for you, and thank God for your dedication. We're going to go into the Word of God. I just want to let you know a couple of things. Vision of Hope is having a Youth Black History Month program. And so that's going to be on February 28th. That's a Saturday at 1 p.m. That's going to be a youth program, and they're going to be celebrating Black history. So that's a wonderful thing. Also coming up, we're trying to put together a food pantry. So we're going to be giving out food to those who are in need. So if you're listening and you're in the Charlotte area, or if you pull up this as an archive later on, then know that we'll be giving out food on Sunday after service. That will be at 10:30 at Vision of Hope Ministries, 5105 Reagan Drive, Suite 105. Excuse me. So we're trying to, again, put together a food pantry, and we thank God for that. We're going into the Word of God. I just wanted to, I talked about this on Sunday, and I wanted to talk about it a little bit more tonight. And it's the book of Genesis, the first chapter through the sixth chapter. I believe we'll be going exactly into the sixth chapter. But we're talking about Noah and the difficult time that he had. He was chosen by God, and he had a difficult task to do. So someone is texting me. Give me a second. So we thank God for his goodness. This weather, this Charlotte weather, I tell you, I was getting a little bit of cabin fever today. I had to get out and just get out and get some fresh air. And so we thank God for his goodness. But we just bless the name of the Lord. And let me see, somebody's trying to get in. We'll give it a minute. I'm talking and texting at the same time. Bear with me. All right, well, we're going, like I said, to the book of Genesis. Hold on 1 second. I'm really kind of stuck here with this whole situation with Noah because, you know, everybody's always saying, God chose you, God called you. Woo, you know, bless God, he called you, he chose you. you know, we single people out and profit single people out, and, you know, we lay hands on people, but we that's the glamour of it. And we don't look at the part where it takes work, it takes dedication. Most of all, it takes faith. And let me just back up a second and just have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word, even on tonight. We thank you that we're able to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what your word says. And you told us to bring your word back to your remembrance. So, God, we just thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for just the opportunity to just gather together over the airwaves and just to study your word. And we ask you to be with us, be with those who are listening even now and those who will listen in the future. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. So sometimes people are not able to listen right away, and that's okay because this is it's not only on the phone, but it's also online under Blog Talk Radio / Pastor Kim. And so people will, from all over the globe, will listen at different times. And so, like last week's session, I went back and looked, and we had 20 people go back in and just listen. And so I think that's a blessing that somebody will take, you know, 20 to 30 minutes to just sit down and listen to what's being said in the Word of God. So tonight we're talking about Noah and how he was chosen by God to do something that was difficult. And like I said, everybody, some, you know, people often get excited about being chosen by God, but sometimes the task that he has for us to do is not a glamorous task. It's not an exciting task. It's just something that is part of his will. It's not always something that we've done. It's not. Sometimes it's not something that, you know, we deserve. Because people talk about, you know, reaping and sowing. And, you know, the thing that really throws me for a loop is as soon as something goes wrong in your life, people want to first blame, and then number two, they want to try to figure out, well, what did you do? What happened? You know, what happened that you didn't that this came on in your life, or you didn't hear from God, or so many things. And I think if you really love the Lord, you know, you're not going to, for lack of a better phrase, you're not going to just blatantly. You might have your moments where you're going to disobey God. But if you love the Lord and you're really seeking God, you're not just out there just blatantly trying to do something wrong. You're trying to serve God as best you know how. And so it can be very hurtful when people come along to try to accuse you of things. And I know I'm taking a left turn, but I'm going somewhere with this. And so it is with Noah. And it reminded me also of Job. You know, I've preached about Job before, where his own friends came and cast judgment on him and, you know, told him to repent. His wife told him to curse God and die, all because of the things that were happening to him. And he didn't have a reason for it. And so it is with Noah. Noah was chosen by God to build an ark. The fascinating thing is it took him 120 years to build it. And I could really talk about this because, you know, after they finally got the dry land, and you really have to go and read it for yourself, that was an overwhelming task for Noah. God chose him, took him 120 years before the time that God told him to do something and the time that it came into fruition. We're not even going to talk about the people that criticized him, the people that judged him, the amount of time that he might have doubted himself, questioned himself, God, did I hear from you? Then how long he stayed on the ship, him and his family stayed on the ship, you know. And then right after he got off, he got a little drunk. And so we can look at that at another time. But I'm sure it was just an overwhelming task for the Lord, I mean for Noah. And I have to throw this in here. I threw it in here on Sunday. And, you know, I know because it's on the airwaves, you know, it might get a little crazy. But I have to throw this in there because it is the Word of God. It's not what I'm saying. It is the Word of God. So let's look at the, let me back up here, 6th chapter, 5th through the 22nd verse. And I don't have all my verses labeled. If you'll give me a second, I can go back in and find what I'm looking for. But the book of Genesis, the 6th chapter. And, you know, two things, which I'm sure most of you know by now. You know, when God, people always say they sent them in two by two. Well, it was every unclean animal that went in by twos, one male, one female. We need to be specific about that. And then every clean animal went in by sevens, one male, one female, seven pairs. And so that's what happened there. Everybody always says two by twos, but it wasn't just about the twos. Also, and I pointed this out, here it is right here, verse 18. Verse 17, I am going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has the breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you. He's talking to Noah, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. So everybody had a mate. Everybody had a pair. You are to bring into the ark two of every living creature, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them. Noah did everything God commanded him. So if you jump real quick over to the next chapter, and that'll address what I'm saying, chapter 7, verse 1, the Lord said to Noah, go into the ark, you and your family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. Take with you seven pairs of every kind of clean animal, a male and its mate, and one pair of every kind of unclean animal, a male and its mate, and also seven pairs of every kind of bird, male and female, to keep their various kinds alive throughout the earth. So here, right here, when God is talking about repopulating and keeping everything alive, he didn't say take two males. He didn't say take two females. He said one male and one female. He made sure everything was able to repopulate. One male, one female. Now, I didn't say that. That's what the Bible says. And so that's what they had to do. They had to take a male and they had to take a female. If they took seven males, they had to take seven females. So there's so many things that you could do with that, so many avenues that you could go, and so many ways. But I'm going to leave it right there. If you have any questions, you can definitely ask me or email me or send it to me, and I will address it. But that's very specific. He didn't say take two males. He didn't say take two females. He said one of each, one male, one female. So, again, you can imagine. I just want to, if you don't get anything else tonight, I just want you to think about if God has asked you to do something that is difficult. Because every time we get so excited when God calls us to do something. And when he calls us to do something, sometimes those things that he calls us to do are not going to be glamorous. They're not going to be where everybody can see and pat us on the back. Sometimes he's going to ask us to do a difficult thing, and nobody will understand but God. Sometimes you won't even understand. I was going to say nobody will understand but you and God, but sometimes you don't even understand why you're going through what you're going through, why you're being put through what you're being put through. And sometimes it's just for no other reason but for his glory. Ooh, hallelujah. I just want to let somebody know that sometimes what you're going through, you've been chosen to go through for no other reason but for the glory of God, so that God can get the glory out of your life, so that God can say, somebody has been through this,
done this, been there, done that, got the T-shirt and the hat, and you can talk to somebody else who might be going through that. You have to recognize that sometimes we go through things that are of no fault of our own, but we have to begin to trust God and know that he has asked some of us to do difficult things. Now, doesn't mean he hasn't equipped us to do it. Doesn't mean he hasn't empowered us to do it, because we know that he doesn't put on us any more than we can bear. But I'm just trying to address the ridicule that comes with it, the criticism that comes with it, the judgment that can come with it when man doesn't understand what's going on in your life. They often want to ridicule and judge and scrutinize and try to figure out. But sometimes it's just you and God alone. This is why I love to do plays, and I'll be glad when our church really grows to the point that we can really just do some plays and things, because, hallelujah, and the Lord just spoke and just was like, just do it. Just do it now. Just start now. Just do it. But, you know, I want us to be able to literally bring the Bible to life, because I can just imagine Noah going out there building every single day and not a drop of rain. When I did the study on it, it said it took approximately 40,000 trees to build the ark. Now, you know, they did not have any electrical tools. They could not go to Home Depot and get an electric saw. They could not go to the sawmill and get all the plywood that they needed. So he had to do that by hand. And whether or not he had some of his servants or his sons to help him, it doesn't say. But he had to do all of that, and it took him 120 years to do it. And I know people were coming by, looking, laughing. It was probably some people who were even backstabbing, like, yeah, man, I got you. I'm with you. I'm going to be right in there with you. Don't leave me. I'll be right back. I'm coming. I got you. I'll help you. All of that probably took place. All of that probably took place. And sometimes when we're going through difficult things for the glory and the honor of God, sometimes if you just want to be honest, sometimes you question yourself, like, Lord, are you sure? Is this you? You know, you have to examine yourself. Is it me? What did I do? What part did I have in this? And, you know, God, it's not like a chess game, like, oh, you moved the wrong way. Now you're in trouble. God doesn't deal with us like that, because if he did, he wouldn't have sent his only son to die for us. We can be open. We can be honest with God. We can talk to him just like I'm talking to you. We do not have to dot every I and cross every T when we're talking to our Father, because if that was the case, the slaves got more done with less reading and less articulation than we have done in the 21st century. They have gotten more done. But, you know, they memorized the scripture because that's all they had. They would tear the page out the Bible, 23rd Psalms, and just somebody would read it to them and they would memorize it, lean on it, depend on it, and push each other based on one or two scriptures. So they got a lot done. They didn't, like I said, they didn't dot every I across every T. So we don't have to, you know, be quite like that. You know, sometimes we joke and say, yeah, you have to be real specific with God, because, you know, if you don't, then he's going to, you know, throw you a little wrench in there. I don't really believe God is like that. I believe that he knows us, and he knows, you know, like the scripture says, you know, when you ask, you know, for the desires of your heart, you know, you can ask for the desires of your heart, but you don't want to ask out of flesh, out of wickedness. You know, the scripture says you ask amiss. You don't want to do that, you know, because then you might in fact get just what your flesh wants. So, you know, we have to be careful there. But at the end of the day, nobody really knows that but you and God. Nobody really knows how all of that takes place but you and God. If Noah would have listened to the people that came by and criticized him and threw tomatoes at him and judged him and talked about him, those were some of the same people when that rain started to fall and he pulled that door up and shut it, those are some of the same people that was banging on that door, let me in, let me in. Some of the same people that criticized him. You had to know that was a hard task to do, but he accomplished it. He did it, and to God be the glory. To God be the glory. So there's a, you know, we have the fivefold ministry, and there's something called the apostle, and the apostle is the groundbreaker. You know, it's not all the way, it's not always doing something that has not been done before, but sometimes certain territories have dried up, and the apostle has to go in there and break up that ground. And when you're an apostle and you go in and you breaking up ground, it seems like you're doing something that nobody has done before, or you're looking back and you don't have anybody in your corner. That's the apostolic call. You may not be an apostle, but you might have an apostolic call in your life to go out and do some things where you're not going to have a whole bunch of people patting you on the back. But you got to do it to the glory of God anyhow, and watch and see if God doesn't bless. And so I just wanted to encourage you today to think about Noah. Every time somebody says you've been called, you've been chosen by God, God has called you, don't just think about the good side of it. Don't just think about the preaching side of it. Don't just think about the evangelistic side of how many people, you know, you can talk to somebody and just win them to Christ just like that. Those are all good and admirable things. But sometimes, as the show is, dirty jobs, sometimes God has dirty jobs for us to do, things that nobody likes. One of the disciples asked Jesus, who sinned? Who sinned, this boy or his parents? Because the boy was, I believe he was crippled. And he said, Jesus said, nobody sinned. This was done that my glory might be revealed in the earth. And that's something to say. Nobody sinned to cause the child to be in the condition that the child was in. The child was chosen to do a difficult, hallelujah, task that the glory of God could be revealed through that child. So I truly hope you've gotten something out of it tonight. And we're going to be looking at being chosen by God again next Wednesday. I'm just picking different people out the Bible and just getting a viewpoint on, you know, what happened as a result of them being called and chosen by God. And I hope you've been blessed by it. Father God, I pray that your word stands firm and true in the hearts and the minds of your people. We thank you for what our ears have heard and what our hearts have felt through your word and through this Bible study, God. And I just ask that this just be a seed that's planted. Let it take root, and let those that listen now and later continue to pursue. Be like the Thessalonians. Go in and look at the word of God for yourself. Break it up and look at it for yourself. And we'll thank God for every listening here. We ask you to bless them, bless their families, bless their loved ones, bless their jobs, Father. In the name of Jesus, we call for an increase in finances, God. We call for elevation on the job, God, even if somebody is looking for a job. God, we ask you to continue to bless and open up every door. And we'll be so careful to give you all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen. Got a question and a comment. Hello. God bless you.
Hey, it's Aaron. How you doing?
Fine. How are you?
I'm good. Listen, you had sparked a situation that I've been looking at for quite some time about Noah. I don't know if you saw it or not, but that movie, Noah, that was a misconception of what the Word of God actually spoke about. And
okay,
they threw some stuff in there that was not even biblical. And when you said the male and female, that's true. And people kept debating that even to this day. And I'm going to say, when I say the word if, I don't mean that literally. But think about this. If God made an animal, male and female, two by two, male and female, to go inside the ark, then why would anybody fix their mouth to say that God made men and women gay or lesbian? He didn't make them like that. that was a choice they made on their own. Do you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. There's so many dynamics.
Yeah.
There's so many dynamics to homosexuality. There's so many dynamics to it. And, you know, it's just like our walk. You know, it's not just a cut and dry walk. Think about the thief on the cross. He had done everything wrong. His whole life was wrong. And he said, all he said, he didn't get baptized. He didn't speak in tongues. All he said was, Lord, we're not in a paradise. Remember me. He had enough faith at that moment to believe. And the Lord stopped. He stopped the whole earth for him. I mean, that is always my point of reference. You know, and when you think about somebody like, you've heard different people's testimonies, like Donnie McClurkin. You know, he talked about being molested as a child. You know, and molestation is so much different than rape. You know, so molestation, he had to figure out what to do with those emotions, those feelings, how to handle it. You know, because nobody now they do, but nobody readily talked about when a boy was molested. You know, when a girl was molested and she became promiscuous, you know, well, most of the time people knew why. You know, she either shunned men or became very promiscuous as a result of molestation. So you can imagine what would happen with the male, but nobody wanted to deal with that. So they just would shun homosexuals in the church. Same thing for females. So we have to give place for everybody to grow and to be loved in the body of Christ. And a lot of times the church doesn't have a tolerance for certain sins. But if you look in the Bible, one of the things, and I always say this, that God hated was sowing discord among the brethren. That's one thing that he hated. You know, he hates, not hated, he currently hates. So when people, you know, so discord, the Bible says that's, you know, the Lord hates that. So we always look at outward things that, you know, we can identify. So there's so many things to the homosexual situation. And, you know, we just have to pray for everybody. Have to pray for everybody. And ask God to just, you know, touch everybody, because it's just not a cut and dry scenario.
No, and you know what? If he did make, I do, and I just told a lot of folks, if God was like that, he wouldn't have burnt down Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, God don't do things all really nullified. He does things for a purpose, for his own glory, number one.
Oh, absolutely.
But
absolutely.
For me to understand it, you know, I'm going to figure this wrong. We're going to understand that by and by. We may not understand at all. God has the right to deny his knowledge of what he's gone through while he's on earth if he wants to.
Listen, when you talk about Sodom and Gomorrah, when you think about Sodom and Gomorrah, think about Lot and his wife. Lot disobeyed Abraham, went down to Sodom. Abraham told him not to. He went down there, carried on, got his wife all caught up, and then once he got himself together and said, okay, come on, baby, it's time to go. We got to get out of here. Well, she didn't want to give up her Louis Vuittons and stuff. She was wrapped up in it, and she's the one who lost her life. And what I say to that is some of these women are following men that's leading them astray because somebody somewhere told them they had to stay forever and a day. The devil is a liar. We got to rightly discern the word of truth. She the one who got caught up. He got himself together and tried to pull one out. And she the one who got caught up and messed up in that stuff.
Yeah.
Hello? So
it's a lot. I'm listening.
You know, it's a lot. It's a lot. She, you know, she got caught up. She followed her husband down to Sodom. But when he told her, you know, I mean, that's just like anything, you know. That's why I remember Carlton Pearson preaching one time, and he said, you know, I let you get close enough. As a preacher, he said, I let you get close enough to see my faults, and then you hold them against me. Some people are not able to handle that inner circle, you know what I mean? And husbands and wives, those are the hardest to minister to. the hardest to minister to, because you're living with that person every day, and that person has to let their hair down somewhere. So, you know, he's out partying, having a good time. Then when the Lord deals with him, God deals with him, and Abraham come down to rescue him, he tell him, come on, woman, let's go. Well, she ain't ready to go. She still want to party. And that, you know, that cost her her life. Now, somebody else will preach and say she was disobedient. You know what I mean? But look at the dynamics of all of it. You need a visual of that. You know what I mean? It's a lot. It's a lot. So we have to pray for everybody. But I so enjoy you tuning in. I really thank God for you. And we've gone past our time, so we're going to go ahead on and hang up. And God bless you.
You too.
All right, take care.
All right, you too.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.